to Exodus, the sixth chapter. Beginning in verse 1. Exodus chapter 6, beginning in 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. Because of my mighty hand, he will let them go. Because of my mighty hand, he will drive them out of his country." God also said to Moses, "I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty, but by my name, the Lord, I did not make myself fully known to them. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, where they resided as foreigners. Moreover, I have heard the groaning of the Israelites, whom the Egyptians are enslaving, and I have remembered my covenant. Therefore, say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm, with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know," say, "then you will know, that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians, and I will bring you to the land I swore with an uplifted hand to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord." And then over to chapter 19 and verse 4. This will be a thematic verse throughout our study over the next number of weeks in the book of Exodus. I love this verse. Exodus 19 and 4. "You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." May the Lord add blessing, understanding, and inspiration to the reading of his holy word. Ancient words, ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. We are about to embark on an adventure. The study of the book of Exodus is an amazing story, one that includes history, miracles, compassion, cruelty, hatred, and finally deliverance. The Exodus is the foundational story and text of the Jewish faith even today. The Jews look back on the story of the Exodus as a watershed moment in their history of their faith. They revere Moses. They talk of his leadership and the miracles performed by God through him. And Christians have looked and studied the story and drawn much truth from it in understanding who God is, his faithfulness to his people, his grace and his love, his judgment upon sin and disobedience. The truth found in Exodus is a large part of the unfolding revelation of God to his children for generation after generation. Its stories and detailed symbolisms will point us clearly to the eventual deliverance of us all by the Lord Jesus. We will see foreshadowing in all its glory as we are undeniably pointed to the Lord Jesus. What an adventure this will be. The great expositor and commentator Arthur W. Pink wrote an incredibly detailed exposition of the book of Exodus. In the foreword of the book, Dr. Pink writes this: "A rich feast is before us. May God, the Holy Spirit, sharpen our appetites so that we may feed upon this truth in faith and be so nourished thereby that we shall grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." I wanted to look at Exodus chapter 6 this morning in our text to set the stage for what we are about to experience in a series of sermons on the book of Exodus. Exodus is the second book of the Bible, and it picks up the biblical storyline right where Genesis left off. Moses is credited for writing Exodus, for recording the history of the events that took place. Abraham's grandson Jacob and his family of 70 had made their way down to Egypt, where Joseph, one of Jacob's sons, had been elevated to second in command over Egypt. So the family lived and grew in Egypt as a safe haven for many years. After a few hundred years, the story of Exodus begins. The Israelites had prospered and multiplied in Egypt, and at a point, the king of Egypt, or the Pharaoh, recognized the growth and prospering of the Israelites within his nation, and he decided to make them his slaves. As time progressed, things got worse and worse, and this slavery became unbearable. In Exodus 3 and 7, the Lord said, "I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt." Somebody say misery. "I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians." The word Exodus refers to the major event that takes place in the first half of the book, Israel's deliverance and freedom out of Egypt. Then the second half of Exodus takes place at the foot of Mount Sinai and tells us of the giving of the Ten Commandments, the plan for the tabernacle, and other laws of principles and worship that would guide, listen, that would guide the Jews, the Israelites, for generation after generation after generation. God chose Moses and then his brother Aaron to lead the people to freedom. We will see God's call on the life of Moses in a later sermon. But I want to preview all of this by unpacking this chapter 6 that we read in our text this morning. Verse 1 of 6 said, "Then the Lord said to Moses, now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. Because of his mighty hand, he will let them go. Because of my mighty hand, he will drive them out of his own country. You see, friends, God had told Moses that he was going to use him. He was going to use Moses to free the people from this slavery and oppression. Now, in this text, God assures Moses. I love this phrase. Now you will see what I will do, God says. Now you will see what I will do. Note that he doesn't say, what you will do, Moses. He says, what I will do. God had already demonstrated his power and his deity and his provision to Moses in chapter 4. I know I'm jumping around, but I want to give us a solid background here as we move forward in the study of Exodus. You see, Moses had questioned God, if we recall. Basically, he said, what if the people don't believe me? In Exodus 4, God shows his power. Moses throws his staff to the ground, and it becomes a snake. And then in this very famous motivational quote in Exodus, God says, reach forth your hand and take it by the tail. That's a good word, friend. One of my favorite texts in the Bible, reach forth thy hand and take it by the tail. And then he says to Moses to reach his hand into his cloak and pull it out. And when his hand came out, it was white as leprosy. It was leprous. And he said, then do the same. And it came out cleansed and healed. I am the Lord. The next passage in our text in chapter 6 says, because of my mighty hand, Pharaoh will let them go. You see, Moses had gotten a personal demonstration of God's power. In the commentary, according to Pastor Scott, the staff and the snake is showing the power that God will pour out of Moses. Outward demonstration of God's power. The leprous hand is showing the care that God will take for Moses. And in that regard, the children of Israel. In God's tremendous and mighty outpouring of power, the force of the power of God will persuade Pharaoh to let the people go. But in the intimate, caring power of God, in the healing that Moses saw in that situation, he is going to take care of his people through this process. Because of my mighty hand. Look at verse 2. 6 and 2. God also said to Moses, I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, the Lord, I did not make myself fully known to them. God tells Moses, first of all, that he is the same God as his forefathers. I want you to get a hold of this. Moses needed to understand, he was reassured here, that the same God, the same power, the same love, the same promises were there that he had given to his people Israel through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Somebody say the same God. This was vitally important to Moses being able to move forward. Same God. What a blessing. Listen, what a blessing it must have been for Moses to understand this. He was not being led astray here. He was not getting detoured onto the wrong path. Listen, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was guiding him and would be with him. It's interesting, really interesting, this last phrase. But by my name, the Lord, I did not make myself fully known to them. Meaning, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and their descendants and their family got this much glimpse of who God was. God was about to open it. Oh my goodness. In a very real way, he says to Moses, what I am about to do through you is a whole new chapter of revealing who I am to my people. Let that sink in for a second. Next week, we'll see in the call of Moses from the burning bush that Moses asks, who are you? Yeah? God's answer, I am that I am. You see, stay with me. The book of Exodus is part of God's unfolding revelation of himself. God had not made himself fully known to Abraham, but will make himself much more fully known to Moses and the children in this age. I'm on tippy toes wanting to see what this is going to look like. Not only will I make myself further known, but in that, I will remember the covenant. So I'm showing myself to you in a new way, but I am not neglecting or setting aside the promises that I have already made. That's your God, friend. Verse 5, moreover, I have heard the groaning of the Israelites, whom the Egyptians are enslaving, and I have remembered my covenant. God is the ultimate promise keeper. He remembers his covenant with his people, and he is true to his word. Verse 6 in our text, therefore, somebody say therefore. There's a good bridge word, Pastor Dude. I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will, redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty hands of judgment. Therefore, because I have remembered my covenant, Moses, I will see to it. Say, see to it. I've remembered my covenant, and I will see to it that the people are freed from their oppression, that the people are delivered, that they are set free. In other words, Moses, I anticipate success. This is going to be a successful venture. A successful venture. Why? Because I have heard the groaning of the people, and I have remembered my covenant. I have seen their struggle. I don't care what you're walking through. God sees your struggle. I know we walk through seasons of difficulty, seasons of challenge. We've talked about this before in this last year. We walk through seasons of seeming darkness. But when you're walking through that season, my friend, he sees you. And he has promised to be with you. And he remembers, say remembers, and he remembers his promise. He's the ultimate promise keeper. You know, it feels like he's keeping his promises when we're on the mountain, but I'm here to tell you that he really keeps his promises when we're in the valley. The word redeemed is used here. Wow. Redeemed. Redeemed has the meaning here and elsewhere in Scripture of taking a bad situation, such as slavery, and turning it around in the power of God. That's redeemed. Changing the situation for the good. Listen, friends, the story of the redemption of Israel foreshadows the redemption of all mankind to be freed from the slavery of sin by the Lord Jesus and the power of the resurrection, redeemed. Not only does God free Israel from something, slavery, but this redemption, this rescue, brings them to God. This is striking. Verse 7. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. And I will bring you to the land I swore with uplifted hand. I want you to look at that. Look at verse 8. I will bring you to the land, and not only did I issue some level of promise, but like in a court of law, I swore to you with my upraised hand, I will bring you out and give you the land. I swore with my upraised hand. God! You think he was serious about the promise? About the covenant? Uplifted hand. To give to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob, I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord. Now, in that passage, there are a few key phrases. And I just want to kind of capsulize what we just read. Here are the key phrases in that passage. I will take you as my own. I will be your God. You will know that I am God. I will bring you to the land. I will give it to you as a possession. Let's turn this into an understandable picture. God wants to bring his people close, draw them to himself. In doing so, they will be redeemed. They will be rescued from the tyranny of a harsh Egyptian king. They will be freed from slavery. But even more significantly, they will be drawn back to their heavenly Father. That's what Jesus did. Through through the terrible payment for sin on the cross, and then the triumphant victory over death in the resurrection of Jesus, we are, you and I are, little you are, drawn to your Father. Redeemed. And I want to say to you that resurrection is the ultimate redemption. Resurrection is the ultimate redemption. The book of Exodus will teach us these truths in all of its glory. One more passage I tacked on for our understanding and introduction this morning. Over to chapter 19 of Exodus. This is the after the fact. Chapter 6 was before the action happened. This passage in 19 picks up the narrative after the action happened. 19 and 4, you yourselves have seen. I want to say to you that God working is a thing that happens in our individual lives. You yourselves have seen. God, listen, God works so that you can understand. God moves so that you can sense. God speaks so that you can hear. God says, you yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt. Again, after the action here. And then he says, how I carried you on eagle's wings, brought you to myself. What a vision. Take an enslaved group of people under harsh, terrible, painful slavery, and not only redeem them, but God puts a word picture in place and says, I have carried you on eagle's wings and brought you where? Where? I have carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. After the action. After the Charlton Heston with the... After the action. I have brought you out on eagle's wings for what purpose? For the purpose of destroying Egypt? No. For the purpose of bringing you to myself. I see a bunch of little eagles on the wings. A bunch of baby eagles. Baby eagles are really cute, by the way. Have any of you ever watched a webcam on a nest of eagles? So you see the eagles and the mom and dad are going back and forth, and they're, you know, and at first there's just some eggs there. And then these little furry, beautiful little birdies. I see the people of God being carried to Jesus like little eaglets on his wings. If you're far away from God today, he wants to draw you back. If you can't see him today, if you're having trouble hearing him today, he wants to draw you back. And not only that, but I think if you are having trouble seeing and sensing and understanding the presence of God in your life these days, it's probably because you are tied up by something. You are enslaved by something. If you are far away from God today, he He wants to draw you to Himself. He wants to put your little fuzzy ball of eaglet on His wings and bring you back. Pastor Scott, how do I know if I'm close to Him or I'm not? We've talked about these things for a year now. We've talked about transformation. We've talked about prayer. We've talked about living godly lives in a godless society. We looked at the life of David, and although he sinned and he struggled, God drew him back. Friend, if you're far away from God today, He wants to draw you back, carry you on eagle's wings. And what's the destination? To Himself. I think it's true that we go through seasons of feeling closer to God than other seasons. Don't let a hard period of time fool you into thinking He's not there. I got to tell you, after years, generations of slavery in Egypt, there were some folks who gave up. We'll get into that in one of our upcoming sermons. But that on the screen is the desire of your God. He wants you back. He wants you back. Redeemed. I've known some folks that have strayed for periods of time. Paid a dear price for it. But God is faithful. My buddy Mitch Birch's dad used to call the Holy Spirit the hound of heaven, because He's just after you. Just after you. Friend, if you're walking far from God today, He's after you. Eagle's wings. Saying, get on board. Yep. Like those stairs that they wheel up to Air Force One. Get on board. He wants you back. And in drawing you back, He will destroy the things that have held you down. He will cut the cords. He will break the chains. He will transform the thinking. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Father,